right. Sorry for my tardiness. I lost track of time over there. Okay. So yesterday we discussed Mila of Geirus and the Mila of Matan Torah and where that happened in the Geirus process historically. So today we're moving on to Tevila. We already read the relevant Gemara as far as it relates to Tevila. The Gemara brings Psukim to show that that Mila was required at Maimon Har Sinai, but where do we find that Tevila actually happened at Maimon Har Sinai? I mean, even like practically figuring out, you know, what did they build mikvahs in the Midbar? Okay, so that's such a kasha. Kadosh Baruch Hu made a be'er for them, so Mistama, you know, they could have Mayanot, they could have a Mayan, you're allowed to go to the mikvah in a Mayan. So, okay, so obviously Kadosh Baruch Hu could have, you know, Hashem could have figured it out, right? Right. That wouldn't be the problem. The Gemara says that they must have had a tevila because v'chibsu simlosam. So of course they had to tovel their bodies. If they even had to tovel their clothing, of course they had to tovel their bodies. And the Gemara says, nah, v'chibsu simlosam. That's not about toveling. That's about that's about cleaning their clothing. They just have to look respectful. Nothing to do with tevila, because the word v'chibsu could sometimes mean tovel. Sometimes it means to clean. To launder, right? The term kibus begadim sometimes means doing laundry, and sometimes kibus begadim is used in a halachic context, and it means to actually tovel something. So then the Gemara says, no, you can't see it from the pasuk that anywhere that it says tevila. There's nowhere in the pasuk that it says that they did tevila, but the pasuk does say that Moshe Rabbeinu did hazaa on them, that he sprinkled on them, and ein hazaa below tevila. Whenever there's a hazaa, it's a given that there's a tevila. Whenever you're doing gemiri, ein hazaa below tevila, it's a given that it's inconceivable that there would be hazaa without tevila. Meaning by parah aduma, you have hazaa, right? What do you do? When do you do hazaa by parah aduma? Person becomes tamei v'meis, so they take the ashes of the parah aduma and they mix it with the mechatos, with the water, and then they do hazaa. Shlishi Ushvi, right? So part of that process is also going to the mikvah. Meaning even with the Azaz Shlishi Ushvi, the Tara is not over until you go to the mikvah. You're not actually Tara until you go to the mikvah. Hazah always. Where else do we have Hazah other than Paraduma? Huh? Mitzora, right? By Mitzora, you have Hazaa. The Levium had Hazaa. And every time there's Hazaa, there's always Tevila. It's a given that there's always Tevila together with Hazaa. So Gemara says, where did they do Tevila in Maimon Har Sinai? Maimon Har Sinai is the basis for all of Geirus. So it must be that whatever we do in Geirus comes from Maimon Har Sinai. So where did they do Tevila? It says they did Hazaa, so it must be that they did Tevila. That's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara started with the V'chibsu Simlosim, so that's not a good raya, because V'chibsu Simlosim just means that it was laundry day. It doesn't necessarily mean that they did Tevila. And then the Gemara says, oh, because Hazaa, and Hazaa, and Hazaa, Gemiri, and Hazaa, below Tevila. It's interesting, the Rambam quotes that a ger needs Tevila, and the Rambam says, because the Pasuk says, and what do you expect the Rambam to say? Hazaa, but what does he say? What's he doing? The Rambam's quoting the Havamin of the Gemara. The Gemara rejected that source for the need for Tevila. So the Bach asks that he's quoting the wrong Pasuk. That was only the Havamin of the Gemara. So the Bach answers that once we know that they had Tevila, from the fact that Ein Hazaa below Tevila, so now it's Megala to us that V'chibsu Simlosam means Tevila. Meaning, we said before, V'chibsu Simlosam can mean two things. It can mean laundry, and it can mean Tevila. So the Gemara said, there's no proof that it means Tevila. It might mean laundry. But once you have another pasuk that tells me that they did Hazaa, so that's Megala to me, that somewhere along the way there must have been Tevila. What's the most logical place where there could have been Tevila? When the Torah said, V'chibsu Simlosam. So that's what the words must have meant, that it must not mean laundry in that context, it must mean Tevila in that context. Wonderful, good. So we have this concept of Tevila as part of Geirus. What we're going to talk about today is the exact role of Tevila in the Geirus process. So the Gemara quotes a major machlokas tanaim about this. The Gemara quotes Rabbi Lazar, who says that mul velo taval, that you're a Jew. If a person gets mila without tevila, it works. You don't need tevila, according to Rabbi Eliezer, in order to become a Jew. the Chachamim say that Gemiri that you do need Tevila, and Rabbi Elazar says you don't need Tevila. So which is it? Meaning, not which is it? We have this machlokas tonight whether Tevila is critical to being Jewish, right? We had the whole discussion yesterday. Do you learn from the Imahos that Mila is not necessary? Do you learn from the Avos that Tevila is not necessary? But you have this machlokas Rabbi Elazar versus the Chachamim. Whether you need tevila, what is the nekudas hamachlokas? What are they arguing about? Right? Is it a historical machlokas, like what happened in the times of Matan Torah? Is it some sort of halachic machlokas? So there are four possibilities in Rishonim that I'm aware of as to what this machlokas is about, and we're going to see that there are going to be nafkaminas lahalacha in this four-way machlokas Rishonim. First, you have Shitas HaTosfos. Tosfos writes that they're arguing whether the rule of Gemiri that Ein Hazo Belo Tevila is true. Meaning, you're right. The Gemara says that the Pasuk says, rather, that there was Hazah. So the Gemara says, if there was Hazah, there must have been Tevila. Whoa, that last step. That if there was Hazah, there must be Tevila. Does everyone agree that that's a rule? It happens to be that by Mitzora, and that by Paraduma, and that by the Levim, that there happened to have also been a Tevila. But does that necessarily mean it's a rule? Maybe that's a coincidence, that every other time we have Hazah, there happens to be Tevila. But it doesn't necessarily mean that every time there's Hazah, there must be a Tevila. So maybe Moshe Rabbeinu did a Hazah on Klal Yisrael, and there was no Tevila. And that's Shitas Rabbi Elazar, that historically, there was no Tevila. And Maimon Har Sinai. And mainly you don't need tevila, right? That is the suggestion of Tosfos. So that the whole machlokas is whether this gemiri is actually true, whether this idea that we can state with certainty that Ein Hazah below tevila is actually true or not. Tosfos Yishanim disagrees. He says, no. Machlokas is not about Ein Hazah below tevila. Everybody agrees that that's a principle. It's not just a coincidence that by Mitzvah, by the Levim, by Paradum, that every time you have Hazah, there's tevila. Of course, every time there's Hazah, there's tevila. Machlokas is, was there actually Hazah b'shas Matan Torah? Rabbi Elazar says that there was no Hazah b'shas Matan Torah. Well, what? It's a pasuk. Vayizrak ala'am. No. It might mean that they had that might not mean that they had hazah. It could mean that he did hazah al ha'am. What does al mean? So says the Shalom, al means two different things. Sometimes it means on, like physically on, like this talus is al ha shulchan, right? Or sometimes al means on behalf of, for the sake of. So what would it mean? Vayizrak al ha'am. Moshe Rabbeinu did his Rika on behalf of the Jewish people. Where did he do this Rika on behalf of the Jewish people? Well, where do you always do Zrika on behalf of the Jewish people? On the Mizbeach. Right? That's the way karbonos always work. That not that you're throwing the blood on the people, that you're doing a Hazah on behalf of the people. Probably on the Mizbeach, like you always throw blood on the Mizbeach. So it has nothing to do with Hazah. It's a mitzvah zrikas dam al mizbeach, which clearly does not require tefillah, right? There's no such din that every time someone throws dam on the mizbeach, all of Klal Yisrael goes to the mikvah, right? There's a din that when you go through a hazah, you then have to have a tefillah. But there's no din that if someone's bringing a carbon seabor, that all of Klal Yisrael all of a sudden has to go to the mikvah. Every time a tamid shel shachar and tamid shel bein arbayim is brought, then all of Klal Yisrael goes to the mikvah. There's no such din. So you would not have a tefillah. In fact, if you look in Targum Unkelus on the Pasuk, when it talks about Vizarak, that Moshe Rabbeinu was Vizarak al Ha'am, it says the Targum Unkelus is Vizarak al Midbecha L'chapra al Amma. Vizarak al Midbecha, Dalin and Zayin are interchangeable when it comes to Aramaic, right? Vizarak al Midbecha, he was Zarek on the Mizbeach. L'chapra al Amma. To be Mechaper for the Jewish people, on behalf of the Jewish people, not on the Jewish people. Okay, so far, two approaches. One approach is Tosfos, that the Machlokas, is there a rule that Ein Hazah below Tevila? But of course they did Hazah. Everyone says they got Hazah. The Machlokas is, does such a rule exist? Second approach, Tosfos Yishanim, Of course such a rule exists in Hazah B'lo Tefillah. The machlokas is whether there was actually Hazah. There, according to the Chachamim, there was Hazah. According to Rav Lazar, there was no Hazah. He was throwing stuff on the Mizbeach. He wasn't sprinkling anything on the people. He was sprinkling on behalf of the people, not on the people. And therefore, there was no Tevillah. The Ritva gives a third explanation. The Ritva says, not like Tosos, not like the Tosos Yishanim. Everybody agrees, Ein Hazah B'lo Tevillah. And everybody agrees that there was a Hazah. Well, so what are they arguing about? Machlokas is, when was that Hazah? At what point in history did that Hazah happen? That sprinkling happen? Machlokas is the timing. And that's Machlokas tonight. The Psukim in Mishpatim seem to be way after Kabbalah Satorah. Because it interrupts with all of Hilchos Nezikin before it gets to Vayizrak Alav. So, was it at Kabbalah Satorah, or was it like way after Kabbalah Satorah? Some later time there was Hazah. What would be the Nafkamina? If it was at Kabbalah Satorah, it makes sense that it would be part of what? The Gerus process. If it was way after, it's got nothing to do with the Gerus. Okay, there was some other event where God told Moshe, go and sprinkle stuff on the people. Okay, that's got nothing to do with Gerus. It's way after. So, you know, but isn't it obvious that it's way after? You know, in the Chumash, it's way after. Right, in the Chumash, you have all of Hilchos Nezikin. You have all those Rashis, right, that you have to know, like, all of Bava Kam, Bava Tzir, Bava Tzir, in order to read the Rashis. And then you have Ve'yizuk Moshe Alam. So isn't it obvious that it's way after? No, what's the answer? Ein Mukhtam Mukhar B'Torah. The Torah is not written in chronological order. Ein Mukhtam Mukhar B'Torah does not mean that the Torah is written in a random order. Right? A lot of times people get confused. They think Ein Mukhtam Mukhar B'Torah means it's like God took a bunch of words or a bunch of psukim and threw them up in the air and somewhere they landed and like there's no rhyme or reason. No, it doesn't mean that. It just means it's not in chronological order. So it could be that chronologically, that it could be that something that's described much later in the Torah actually comes much earlier in the Torah. Agav, what's the source for Ein Mukhtam Mukhar B'Torah? Bamidbar, Perek Tes, and the Torah actually gives dates of when things happened at certain times, and Bamidbar Perek Tes comes before Bamidbar Perek Aleph, right? So that's the raya that Ein Mukhtam Mukhar B'Torah. There's a question in the Rishonim, in the Parshanim, on the Chumash, how liberally they use that principle of Ein Mukhtam Mukhar B'Torah. Like, whenever you have a kasha, do you just throw an Ein Mukhtam Mukhar B'Torah at it? You know, like, how does this make any sense? Ein Mukhtam Mukhar B'Torah. Or is it, no, only when Chazal say it. Like, when Chazal say Ein Mukhtam Mukhar B'Torah, that's... Or, when there's not somewhere in the middle. Not only when Chazal say it, but we also, not just to throw Ein Mukhtam Mukhar B'Torah at every question, is whenever there's really no good answer. Right? So if you look in the Ibn Ezra, and you look in Rashi, and you look in the Ramban, you'll see three very different approaches to how broadly to utilize Ein Mukhtam Mukhar B'Torah. But maybe, says the Ritva, that's the machlokas. That the machlokas, whether you need tevilah for part of Gerus, for sure there was a Hazah. And for sure if there was a Hazah, there was a tevilah. Question is, was that tevilah part of their Gerus? Maybe it was way, way later. It was after the Gerus. It was after the Kabbalah Satorah. And it has nothing to do with Gerus. So this is one example where Ein Mukhtam Mukhar B'Torah has a huge nafkamina la'alacha. Right? Because if you say Ein Mukhtam Mukhar B'Torah, then you say, you need a tevilah. If you don't say Ein Mukhtam Mukhar B'Torah over here, then you don't need a tevilah for Gerus. Then you have a person who's a Jew without a tevilah. So that's huge. Then there's a fourth approach. Tos Yishanim quotes Rabbeinu Nesanel, where he says that, Reb Lazar says that at Yitzias Mitzrayim, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu about Korban Pesach, and that Korban Pesach was only for the Jewish people. Kol Benecha lo yochal bo, the halacha is that a Nachri is not allowed to eat Korban Pesach. Right? Anyone who ever learned the first parak of Pesachim has that funny story. About the Nachri that tried to get away with it, tried to bring Korban Pesach every year, he pretended to be a Jew, and he showed up to Yerushalayim, and then he would go and he bragged back in his hometown to who? Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, I think it was, right? He would say to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, I bring Korban Pesach every year. I'm like, what are you talking about? You're a Nachri. Yeah, I go every year, I trick him, I bring Korban Pesach. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, for whatever reason, couldn't go to Yerushalayim himself, so he decided to do a trick on the guy, and he said, I'm sorry, I am taking cold medicine, but limited effectiveness apparently. So he said that, oh, you're eating Karban Pesach, may Alya Mika Safalach, are they giving you from the fatty tail of the Karban? And he said, no. Why should they be? He said, well, obviously they're on to you, because if they knew that you were, they must know that you're a non-Jew. Because if you were a Jew, they'd give you the fatty tail of the Karban. So he was like all shaken up. So next time he went and he asked, he said, I'd like the fatty tail, please. And they said, that's a weird thing. We burn the fatty tail in the Mizbeach. Like, why would you ask for that? Who told you to ask for that? And they said, Rabbi Yudah ben Bezerra told me to ask for it. I'm entitled to it. So they said, Rabbi Yudah ben Bezerra knows how to learn. That's weird that he would tell you to ask for that. There must be something up over here. So they did an investigation, and they found out that he was a guy, and they killed him. So there's a big question, like, are you chayiv misa for that? I mean, is that something you can kill? What exactly? So, okay, so that's an interesting story. But why did I mention that story? Kol ben necher lo yochal bozer. There's a halacha that ben necher is not allowed to eat from a Karban Pesach. Kol orel lo yochal bozer. Someone who's not circumcised is not allowed to eat from Karban Pesach. You have to be fully Jewish to eat from Karban Pesach. So what made us Jewish at that time? Right? What made us Jewish at the time of the original Karban Pesach? So we had a bris mitzvah, right? That we discussed yesterday. But there's no record of the Jewish people going to the mikveh in Mitzrayim. So Reb Elazar says, the fact that we ate the Karban Pesach in Mitzrayim, and that you got to be Jewish to eat the Karban Pesach, tells me that in order to be Jewish, you don't need a tevilah, because we don't know of any mikveh that we went to in Mitzrayim. We had a meal in Mitzrayim. We didn't have a tevilah in Mitzrayim. So that's Rabbi Elazar Shita. Rabbi Yeshua would say, no, you're right. In Mitzrayim, we didn't need a meal. But guess what? Mitzrayim was before Matan Torah. Nitna Torah v'nischad sha'alacha. Torah was given, the halacha changed. A lot of halachas changed in Matan Torah. You know, the Torah was given, so we got all of the Torah. Right? That's the Rambam Perek Kiranasha says that the reason we don't need Kiranasha nowadays is not because of Yaakov Avinu's battle with the Sarah Shalesav. That's why Bnei Yaakov didn't eat Kiranasha. But then the Torah was given, and there was a new Mechayiv of not eating Kiranasha, and that was the Torah. So the Torah Neschat Shalacha, the Torah is given, and the Mechayiv right now, so the rules can change about the Torah. So it could be Enochinami, that at the time that we ate the Karban Pesach originally in Mitzrayim, we didn't have a Tevilah, because our Jewishness was defined by Mila alone. But once the Torah was given, our Jewishness now requires Tevilah as well. So that's the Shita of the Rabbeinu Nasanel. So again, four Shitos as to what are they arguing about, whether you need to, what are the Tanaim arguing about when they argue whether you need Tevilah or not. Shita number one is Tosos, it's a Machlokas, whether it's true that Ein Hazo below Tevilah or not. Shita number two, everyone agrees, Ein Hazaa below Tevilah. The Machlokas is whether there in fact was Hazaa B'Shas Matan Torah, that's Tos Yishanim, whether there was Hazaa or it was just that Moshe Rabbeinu was Zorek Dam on the Mizbeach for us. And Shita number three is the Ritva, that everyone agrees Ein Hazaa below Tevilah, but over here the Hazaa happened after Matan Torah. So it's really a question of Ein Muktam Mu'uchar B'Torah. It's a question whether that Hazaa was meaningful to our becoming a Jew, becoming Jewish. And Shita number four, can we use the fact that we brought Pesach Mitzrayim, this is Rabbeinu Nasanel, can we use the fact that we brought Pesach Mitzrayim without a Tevilah as evidence that you don't need a Tevilah in order to be Jewish? That we participate in Pesach Mitzrayim without a Tevilah, and we know it's axiomatic that a non-Jew cannot participate in Karban Pesach. Now, let's take it one step further. According to Rabbi Elazar, that you don't need Tevilah, right? We're first going to go within Rabbi Elazar, and then we're going to go within Rabbi Yeshua. According to Rabbi Elazar, right? According to Rabbi Elazar, you don't need Tevilah in order to be a Jew. A guy converts and gets a bris milah. What do you call him now? Rabbiyad. You say Rabbiyad, right? He's a Jew now. He's no longer a guy. You don't need tevilah. He's fully Jewish. So that's it? Should he go to the mikveh? Like, you know, imagine, the guy comes into Beis and he says, I'd like to become Jewish, so we go put him through the whole, why do you want to become Jewish? What do you know? Yeah, we give them, we push, you know, there's anti-Semitism, you know, it's really hard to do mitzvos, and we have all these things, you know, you're not allowed to speak Lashon Hara, and you're not allowed to, you know, we tell him, mitzvos, mitzvos, kalos, mitzvos, mitzvos, chamuros, we do the whole thing, says, Aval Bikain, I want to do it, I want to become Jewish. Okay, take it, you know, we're going to have to give you a bris milah. All right, no problem. So we give him bris mila. We're like, okay, have a nice day. And he's like, wait, shouldn't I be like, you know, dunking in the purifying bath or something like that? Isn't there something like that? So what do we tell him? According to Blazer, nothing? No, don't worry about it? Or do we say, oh yeah, it's a good thing to do. You should. You're a Jew anyway, but you should. You should dunk also. So is it a l'chadchila? Is there a din l'chadchila even according to Blazer that you should go to the mikveh? It's just a sama'akev, or is it that, no, there's nothing, there's no need for tevila. So it's explicit in the Gemara, right? The Gemara says that even Rabbi Lazar holds that you should go to the mikveh, that you should have tevila. Even Rabbi Lazar says sama'akev holds that it should be done. So the Gemara discusses the Ma'inaf Kamina, whether it's l'chachil or ma'akev, other than the fact of whether he's a Jew or not. Because the Gemara says that it chaps another nafkamina. Are we matbilim ger b'Shabbos? If let's say he had his meal before Shabbos, he couldn't get to the mikveh before Shabbos, he was still healing. And he wakes up Shabbos morning, he notices he's fully healed. So can he do the mikveh part on Shabbos itself? So if you hold that you need tevila in order to become a Jew, then you can't do it on Shabbos. Because it's tikkun gavri, you're fixing him, you're making him a different person. And you can't do tikkun mana like that on Shabbos. It's a makkah bepatish or something like that. So you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. But if you hold that tevila is just a din l'chachila, but it's not absolutely required. It's just a din l'chachila. So what's the problem? So let him go to the mikvah on Shabbos. So that's what the Gemara says. If you assume it's not ma'akev, and he became Jewish with the mila anyway, then you could do the tefillas ger b'Shabbos, because the tikkun was already done at the mila. Question is, according to Rabbi Lazar, why? Why is there this din l'chachil of going to the mikvah? Meaning, again, we just went through four explanations of the machlokas between Rabbi Lazar and the other tanaim as to why it is that Rabbi Lazar thinks you don't need tevila. But now we're just coming to grips with the fact that Rabbi Lazar says, yeah, you don't need tevila, but you should do it. You should have a tevila. But why? Why should you have a tevila if you don't need tevila? So we got to go through all four possibilities, right? Of why Rabbi Lazar says you don't need tevila, and see if it makes sense that you should have a tevila. You have like this in other areas of halacha, where there are multiple ingredients that are required, or multiple stages that are required to accomplish something. For those who are doing parag mitzvahs chalitza, in Bekiyasei, chalitza has multiple stages, multiple parts to it. There's the rakika, the chalitza, the kriyas aparsha. There are different parts of it, and the whole discussion, whether it's mitzvah, ma'akev, right, which parts of the chalitza procedure are actually ma'akev, which is a mitzvah, which is a matir. You know, Mishnah calls it mitzvahs chalitza, that indicates that it's a mitzvah, but it's also a matir. It's possible that the mitzvah is to do all three elements. There's machlok tanoim, which of the elements is ma'akev in the matir? Meaning, which of the elements is going to be critical and she will not be muteris l'shuk without it. So the same could be true about gerus. There is a mitzvah of gerus, right? The Gemara says, right? We discussed that right at the beginning. So, right? What's, how do I know there's a mitzvah of gerus? The Gemara says, as soon as he says, I'm interested anyway, shuyim mitzvah l'mashina. Got to do it right away. Got to put him in the mikveh. Got to do the gerus right away. Okay, whose mitzvah is it? Mitzvah on the bezin to be mekabel the ger, mitzvah on the ger to be megayer. But either way, it's a mitzvah. So what's the mitzvah? So clearly, to do mila, tevila, karban, right? That's all part of the mitzvah. The question is, what's ma'akev? That's the machlokas of Lazar Yeshua. That what's ma'akev in the chalos hagerus? Everyone agrees you should do all three parts. The question is tevila ma'akev, right? Now, again, so, but we still didn't explain anything. According to Rabbi Lazar, the tevila is not ma'akev. But where does it say it in the Torah that you have to do it, that it's even a mitzvah? Like, where does it come from that it would even be a mitzvah to do in the Torah? So let's go through all four shitas, right? According to Tosfos, what was the machlokas of Rabbi Lazar and the other Tanaim, Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shua? Whether you needed tevila? Whether Eina Zablo tevila or Yesha Zablo tevila. So, was there a tevila back in those days? No. No evidence of any tevila. So that's difficult, right? I mean, we'd still have our kasha. According to Tosos, there was no tevila. So where does Rabbi Lazar dream up the idea that tevila is a mitzvah? It didn't say anything about tevila. Tosos Yeshanim, how did Tosos Yeshanim understand?
It's
meaning there was not even a hazaa, which means there was also no tevila. So where in the world did Rav Lazar dream up that you need a tevila l'chalchila? There was no tevila. They didn't even have hazaa. Hazaa was on the mizbeach. They didn't even have hazaa on the people. So of course there was no tevila. According to the Ritva, the hazaa happened afterwards. Ooh. Hazaa happened afterwards, and with the hazaa comes tevila. But it happened afterwards, after they were already Jewish, which Rabbi Lezer would say, perfect. Right? You become Jewish when you do a milah, and at some later time, you know what you should do? Do a tevila also at some later time. That's exactly what happened to Matan Torah. They did a geirus, they did what they needed to do to become Jewish, which was a milah, and then they learned all about all of Kam B'Metzi and B'Basar, right? They went through the Holy Yeshiva system 5 years or whatever, right? And then they did a tevila. So we should do that too. Mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to do a tevila. That would work perfectly, l'chora. That Rabbi Lazar would say that there's a mitzvah to do a tevila, according to the Ritva. According to Rabbi Nassanel, according to Rabbi Nassanel, what was the sheet of Rabbi Lazar? That what? That we see from Karban Pesach that in Mitzrayim, they didn't have a tevila, right? Did they have a tevila at Matan Torah? Yeah, probably, because it says Vihiza, right? So there was a hazah and there was a tevila later at Matan Torah. They were already Jewish in Mitzrayim, because they had a milah in Mitzrayim. And then later on, they had a tevila, which would be, again, perfect. Right? That Rabbi Elazar is telling you, you know how you become Jewish? Mila. And after you become Jewish, a mitzvah, it's a good thing to do, you should do a tevila. Because that's what they did back in the generation of Yotzei Mitzrayim. That in Mitzrayim, they became Jewish through a mila, and then later on, at Kabbalah Satorah, they had a tevila. So it turns out that of our four Mahalchim and the Rishonim, two of the approaches in the Rishonim would fit Rabbi Eliezer really, really nicely. That you don't need a tevila to become Jewish. It's not ma'akev in the becoming Jewish, but that it's a mitzvah. It's a good thing to do because that's what they did. Whereas two of the Rishonim, there was no tevila at the time of Matan Torah. According to the first two Rishonim, there was no tevila at the time of Matan Torah. So where on earth is Rabbi Eliezer pulling this idea that there's a mitzvah to do a tevila? So what does the answer have to be? Oh, didn't the Rabbanan. Right? It's not from the Torah. So the Rishonim that say that it's a mitzvah to do a tevila, according to Rabbi Lazar, if it's not Minat Torah, it must be Midr Rabbanan. So that's not Din Rabbanan. A Chumra Midr Rabbanan. Now, one of the foundations of Limud HaTorah, and certainly this is something... You learn about Rav Shechter for long enough, and long enough is usually just one shir to know this yesod, is that whenever there's a din d'rabbanan called the tikkun rabbanan ke'enda oraisa tiknu, that every din d'rabbanan in some way or another is patterned after a din d'oraisa. The rabbanan didn't just make stuff up. They didn't just come up with, oh, what would be a fun ritual to put people through, right? Meaning it was always, everything is patterned after something in the Torah. Every din d'rabbanan in some way is a reflection of something in the Torah. So even if you're going to take those two approaches that suggest that there's no tevila min haTorah for geirus, not even the mitzvah, not even as l'chachila, and the only reason Rabbi Lazar thinks that you should do a tevila is because it's mid'rabbanan, what's it patterned after? What's it based on? Where else do you have in the Torah that someone becomes a Jew and then later on you say do another tevila? So you're saying that it's patterned after Geirus of an Isha. That an Isha requires tefillah, because otherwise how could she be Nichnas Tachas Kanfei Hashchina? Very good. Or, right, meaning which would mean that Meikra Din, man needs only Mila, woman needs only tefillah, but since a woman needs only tevila, so we see tevila is critical for women, so for men also tevila should be critical, right? Or by Eved Kanani, right? And Eved Kanani becomes chayv in mitzvos with his original tevila when he becomes an Eved, and then what happens when you meshacher him? Another tevila, but he's really chayv in mitzvos. Yeah, well, you do another tevila anyway. So you see that you're upgrading your level of Jewishness. You get a tevila. So maybe that's where Rabbi Elazar gets the idea. So it turns out that there are three shittos really about what our attitude toward tevila is. Right? Rabbi Yeshua's shita is that mila and tevila are both ma'akev. You can't become a Jew without tevila. Rabbi Lezer, according to Tosus and Tosus Yishanim, only mila matters. Tevila is not even a din d'oraisa at all. It's a din d'rabbanan. And Rabbi Lezer, according to the Ritva, according to Rabbi Nisanel, tevila is d'oraisa, but it's not ma'akev. It's only a mitzvah. So most mistaver really that tevila should be min haTorah, because like we just pointed out, the for women the entire gerus is the tevila. So it's hard sell to say that. Like for men, it's not even an idea min haTorah, right? If it's the whole gerus for women. Okay, that's Rabbi Elazar shita. Why are we learning Rabbi Elazar shita? Right, meaning we don't pass on Rabbi Elazar. Obviously, we pass on Rabbi Yeshua. But it's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah to learn Rav Elazar Shita. Rav Shechter often points out that when the Gemara says Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chayim, so it doesn't. That's not a klal in halacha usually. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chayim means that when you learn the Shitas Beishamai, it's not called Bittul Torah. So if you spend the whole morning trying to figure out what Shitas Beishamai is, that was Talmud Torah. It's not Bittul Torah, even though you know that you don't pass him like the Beishamai. So we never pass on Rav Elazar. Rav Elazar Shemutei, we don't pass on Rav Elazar. So, but nevertheless, you spend time learning Shitas Rav Elazar, it's still called Talmud Torah. Rav Shachter gave a whole shiur once where he explained that really, even though Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim is primarily not a rule in halacha, sometimes it is a rule in halacha. Sometimes the fact that the rejected shita is also Divrei Elokim Chayim matters in halacha. Like, for example, I'm not going to go through all of them right now, but for example, the Gemara says, Kedai hu Rabbi Shimon lismuch alav b'shas hadchak. You ever hear that expression? Kedai hu Rabbi Shimon lismuch alav b'shas hadchak? Anyone ever done brachos? Where does it come up? In what context?
By
Talmud Torah. I think by his man, no? By his man Kriyashma? Right? Something like that. Kedai Rabbi Shimon lismuch alav b'shas hadchak. So, but Rabbi Shimon is rejected. But b'shas hadchak, you know, shas hadchak is kediyavadami, and therefore you can be somich on a shita that's otherwise rejected. Because it's also part of Torah. The fact that it's also part of Torah, even though it's not the halacha, allows you to at least rely on it b'shas hadchak. Okay, so you have certain cases where even in halacha, the fact that Eilu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim makes a difference. But let's go to what we actually pass on like, right? Meaning we pass on like Rabbi Yeshua. Passing like Rabbi Yeshua. You've never heard of a gerus where there was no tevila, right? If someone says, I'm just afraid of water. I want to be Megayer, but I'm just afraid of water. I just can't do it. So if you can't do it, you can't do it. Meaning, like, you need a tevila. There's no compromising on the tevila. So we need mila and tevila to create a chalos gerus. But there are a couple of chakiras that you could have within that, right? If mila and tevila are both critical ingredients, so how do you view that? Is it that, like, mila alone is zero, tevila alone is zero, mila and tevila together is everything, right? Meaning these are just the ingredients. You don't have anything until you put them both together. Or is it that, no, they're each attacking a different problem or a different, barrier that you have to get over from being a non-Jew to being a Jew. That mila accomplishes something, tevila accomplishes something else, and together, because they each deal with different barriers that you have toward your Judaism, you'll become a full-fledged Jew through mila and tevila. You know what I'm saying? Meaning, it could be that you view mila alone as a zero, tevila alone as a zero, and mila and tevila together is Jewishness. Or it could be that, no, mila accomplishes something. It's not a zero. It gets you to 50. Tevila alone gets you 50. 50 plus 50 is 100. Then you become a Jew. So that's a chakira to have. You have other chakiras like that in other areas of halacha as well. We're not going to get into that right now. But it's possible that mila... What did we say yesterday? What is mila really? Like, what's mila all about? That you're separating yourself mibena amin, right? You're no longer among the nations of the world. You're no longer a guy. It's possible that that's what mila accomplishes, and then you know what tevila accomplishes. Not only you're not a guy, you're a Jew. Or it could be that no, mila does nothing on its own. And when you have Mila and Tvila, then at the same time that you become not a guy, you become a Jew. Huge nafkamina la halacha. What if a person has Mila and they weren't yet healed when Shabbos came? So the Tvila is going to be after Shabbos. What do they do about Shabbos? Do they keep Shabbos or not? What? No, because a Gaisha Shabbos is Chayiv Misa. So Nachri is not allowed to keep Shabbos. Yeah, yes, but when someone is training to when we're mechanech a person who's in the Geirus process, we tell them to be mechal Shabbos once every Shabbos. There's a woman in my shul who's a Gioris, and she said that she drove Rav Heinemann crazy, that she just couldn't be mechal Shabbos, like through the process. Happened to be he told her she didn't have to be mechal Shabbos. Because she had gone through another Geirus previously. It just wasn't a super great Geirus, but it was enough to create a suffix that she was a Jew, that she didn't have to be Mechal Shabbos. A fascinating story, but stop, a different time, we'll get through that story. The people that bought your house. Yeah. So, amazing story. She went through three Geirus. Became a Jew three times. Where was I? So do you keep Shabbos? Do you keep that Shabbos? So Goyish Shabbos is Chayiv Misa. A Jew that's not Shabbos is Chayiv Misa. Are you allowed to keep that Shabbos? See, if Mila is enough to take you out of being a Goy, okay, so maybe you can keep the Shabbos. You're not a Goyish Shabbos. But if it does nothing and you're still a Goy, right, then you're not allowed to keep that Shabbos. Okay, we'll talk about that in a moment. Sri Deish has another Chakira. He says, okay, we know you need Mila and the Tevila, but is it really that the Tevila is the Ikar HaGerus and it's just that you also need Mila? Meaning Rabbi Shua says you need both. You need Mila and Tevila. So does he hold that, look, by women they only do Tevila, and therefore maybe the Tevila is really the Ikar HaGerus. It's just that you also need Mila, that meaning Tevila is Gerus. And it's just without Mila, the Gerus is not going to be Chal. It's a ma'akiv in the Geirus. Because after all, the imos were tavlu v'lo mal. It would follow that even the chum who hold tavlu v'lo mal, eno ger, would agree that tevila is the ikr, and mila is only the kiyum mitzvah through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu's koris bris with us. Right? Meaning on the one hand, the fundamental idea is that tevila is the essence of Geirus, and that we can learn from women. Or on the other hand, it could be that the chum would say that Tavol v'lo mal, eno ger, they don't learn from the imahus at all because there's not a raya that tevila is ikr from, because you can't ain don nefshar mishiyav shar. Meaning the formulation even mal v'lo tavol v'lo mal, eno ger, ad shiimol v'yitvol, sounds like they're equal partners in this, that they're the same. So Sri Deish says that it's tali in the machlok rishonim about someone who doesn't have a gid, right? Someone ger shenichras hagid, who's missing his aver. So can he be Tova? Can he be a Ger? So the Rishonim that hold that Tevila is that he only needs Tevila and he can become a Ger. So yeah, because Tevila is the Ikra Gerus. It's just that you also need a Mila when it's Shayuch, but Tevila is the real Gerus. And the Rishonim that say that someone who's Nichras Hagid just can't become a Jew, it's because Mila is part of the Ikra Gerus also. That's what Sri Deish suggests. Okay, you can forget about that for a second. But let's go back to our original Chakirah. It's the better of the two Chakirahs.
Can we say what we did yesterday? Rashi Latos was in the Ramban. The Ramban would say that Tzvila is more of the Iker, and then you just can't have an Arielis. That you need a Milas Mitzvah to remove the Arielis, as opposed to the Tos, so it says that no, you need the Milas, the Dafkabis, to be separating.
Yeah, that would be a good way to say it also. Yeah. A lot of good Lundas, yeah.
Also, for this Chakir, by
right. I mean, you could say prior to Matan Torah, Mila was the Iker. Nitna Torah is Chachalach, and then Tevila became the Iker. But yeah, it's a little funny that Rosh Baruch would set it up that way. So where did this come up? This, I mean, going back to the other Shaila, to the other Chakira, is it that Mila and Tevila alone are zero and together are everything? Or is it that each one accomplishes something else? So this came up in the Tshuva's Binyan Tzion. The Binyan Tzion asks, I put that in the Marim Kamos, the Binyan Tzion that was there? No? Oh, sorry about that. I found this Binyan Sion in the back of the Masifta, in the Pnine Halacha section of the Masifta. Fascinating Binyan Sion. Shaila was like this. The case was, we'll go through his lamdas in a second. Let me tell you the case first. The case was that a non-Jew had come from Morocco to Yerushalayim, and he was in the process of being Megayer, and he had gotten a Mila but had not yet had a Tevila. And then Shabbos came. So he started keeping Shabbos because he had his Mila and he didn't have his Tevila. And there was a whole tumult whether he should keep Shabbos or not. And he came to Mincha on Shabbos afternoon, and someone comes running in and tells him, the Beis Din said you have to be Mechal Shabbos, so you're not allowed to keep Shabbos. Now, this was based on a Pesach, the Binyan Sion writes, of the Gon of Beis Din Dekila Kadosha Galin, Hagon Rav Asher Lemon, who lived in Yerushalayim at the time, and he paskin that this fellow can't keep Shabbos. Now, the Sheikh Beis Din went and told him in the name of the Beis Din that he has to do Malacha. It was really only in the name of one Dayan. It was not in the name of, well, it was not in the name of the Beis Din. So the guy said, I don't want to be Mechal Shabbos. So they said, no, you have to be, took out a paper and a pen, write your name. And he wrote his name, pen and paper, Bidema. He was crying as he was writing his name. And it was like such an ordeal that they put him through. So word quickly spread all over town that they forced this guy to write his name. And he was already Taval, he was already Mal Velo Taval, he already had a Mila, and they're forcing him to write his name. So word went all over town to try to fit, and a lot of the rabbis got very upset, and they wanted to put this rabbi in Chayim. How could you do such a thing? Right, to make him write his name. The Rav of Yerushalayim at the time was Rav Shmuel Salant, and he was out of town. Whenever the rabbi's out of town, that's when all the problems happen. So they sent the letter to the Binyan Sion to ask him what he thought. Binyan Sion was in Altona. He was in Germany, right? Binyan Sion was a German rabbi. He probably got the letter like a year later, right? Meaning like this, it was probably not no gay. There's probably no one alive anymore by the time they got it. But that's the way Shalos and Tshuvas used to work, right? Meaning the Shalos and Tshuvas usually were not like, it wasn't like Omid al Perek. It was like, whoa, something crazy happened. You know, what should we have done? And then, you know, with the benefit of being able to take months, unless it's like an Aguna Shaila. Like an Aguna Shaila, they waited months and months and months to pass in the Aguna Shaila. So Shachter always says that Shailas that Reb Chaim Moser would spend 6 months schwitzing over every rabbi he is expected to respond to as soon as there's a blue check, you know, like we're not all Reb Chaim Moser. Like sometimes it takes a little yishuv hadas. He doesn't say it like that. I don't think Reb Shachter knows what a blue check is, but it takes a little more time sometimes. So anyway, so this is the Binyan Sion's Shailas. The Binyan Sion goes through a whole analysis, a fascinating analysis. Let's see if we have time for it. The Gemara in Perek Ha'arel, in Masech Sivam, says, Machlokas Tanayim, how to read the Pasuk. Pasuk says, Toshav v'sachir lo yochal bo. Now the Toshav and Sachir are not allowed to eat a Korban Pesach. So who is the Toshav v'sachir? So in other contexts, the words Toshav v'sachir is about an Eved Ivri, but that can't be what it means over here. An Eved Ivri is absolutely chayiv in Korban Pesach. Why? Because an Eved Ivri is a Jew, right? So there's no doubt. An Eved Ivri is chayiv in Korban Pesach. So Rabbi Kiva says Toshav v'sachir refers to a non-Jew. A real non-Jew. But what do you mean, non-Jew? Kol ben echor le'yachol bo. I already know a non-Jew is not allowed to eat a Korban Pesach. So he said, no, it means someone who has Mila but not Tevila. It means someone in the process, and he's got the Mila but not the Tevila. So Gemara says, well, manafshach, if you hold like Reb Elazar that Tevila is not Ma'akev, what do you call someone who has Mila and not Tevila? A Jew. So it's obvious that he's chayv in Korban Pesach, right? And if you hold like Rabbi Yeshua that Tevila is Ma'akev, so what do you call him? A guy. So so it's difficult to understand. So the Gemara says that if you hold like Rabbi Yeshua that Tevila is not Ma'akev in the Geirus, he's Jewish. Of course he should be able to eat Korban Pesach. The only way to explain Rabbi Akiva as to why he's not allowed to eat Korban Pesach is that you need both Mila and Tevila, and therefore he's not yet a Jew. So the Binyan Sion says, but that doesn't really help, because if he's not yet a Jew, he's a guy, and then Kol Ben Echor Le'Yochel, though. Meaning, The Gemara only asks one side of that question. The Gemara only says, well, if you hold like Rabbi Elazar, he's a Jew already, so how can you say that he's not eating Korban Pesach? Oh, must be Molvelo Tavel, and you hold that he's not yet a Jew. And that's what the Pasuk is telling me, you're not allowed to eat Korban Pesach. Asks Ben Zion, but then he's a guy. And if he's a guy, I already have a Pasuk. Kol Benech HaLeochel Bo, he's not a Jew. So of course they'll let you Karm Pesach. What are you adding when you have another Pasuk to tell me that not only does a non-Jew not eat Karm Pesach, a Malvel Otaval also doesn't eat Karm Pesach. You know what you call a Malvel Otaval? A guy. Same thing. What's being added in Toshav Asach here? He's also a guy. If you disagree with Rabbi Lazar. Whether a person can eat Karm Pesach is really one issue. Is he a Jew or not a Jew? If he is a Jew, then he can eat Karm Pesach. If he's not a Jew, he cannot eat Karm Pesach. So why do you have a Gzeres HaKos of Toshav HaSachar to tell me that this guy that was Malvelo Tevel can't eat Karm Pesach? According to Rabbi Lazar, of course he can. According to Rabbi Shua, of course he can't. I don't need a Pasuk. So Ben Zion says, maybe if he had Mila Velo Tevila, he's not a guy. And you know what else he's not? He's not a Jew. According to Rabbi Lazar, he's a Jew. But according to Rabbi Yeshua, maybe. When Rabbi Yeshua says you need Mila and Tevila, maybe the Mila means that he's not... Once you do Mila, he's no longer a Nachri. And how do you become a Jew? Tevila. So if he did Mila but not Tevila, he's not a Nachri. But he's also not a Jew. And therefore, I need a Gzeres HaKasav for that guy, for the guy who's neither. He's in no man's land. So Toshav HaSachar does not eat Korban Pesach, even though he's, you know, not a guy. He's not allowed to eat Korban Pesach. Now, it's possible Toshav HaSachar is telling me that even though he's Jewish, he can't eat Korban Pesach. Or no, it's telling me that he's not a Jew at all. There is a machlokas achrona between the Binyan Tzion and the Chalkas Yoav. Who is the Chalkas Yoav? Chalkas Yoav is a student of the Avni Nezer. Brilliant student of the Avni Nezer. The Avni Nezer students were all brilliant. They were all geniuses. So in Chalkas Yoav, he says. It's machlokas what the chiddush of the pasuk was. If Toshav HaSachar LeYochel Bo, is it that a person who's halfway Jewish can't eat Korban Pesach, which is the way the Ben Zion understands that he's halfway Jewish but he can't eat Korban Pesach, or is it that no, the chiddush is that Mila without a Tevila means you're still a Nachri? I mean, you might have thought that doing Mila accomplishes something. No, Toshav HaSachar, you're not allowed to eat Korban Pesach. Why not? Because you're a guy. And Mila accomplished nothing. Meaning, what they're arguing about is exactly our Chakira. Does Mila without Tevila accomplish at least what Mila gets to accomplish? And then Tevila will accomplish something else? Or is it a zero until you have both Mila and Tevila? It happens to be Rishonim already asked the Binyan Tzion's Kasha. It's also Yishonim already asked the Binyan Tzion's Kasha. If Toshav HaSachar is not Jewish, why do I need a Gzeres HaKasuf to exclude him from Karban Pesach? So Tos Yishanu says that Rabbi Akiva's source for requiring Mila Tevila is actually from the Pasuk of Toshav HaSachar. He says, yeah, Toshav HaSachar tells me that he's not Jewish. Toshav HaSachar tells me that until you have Tevila, you're not Jewish. So he's bothered by the same kasha that the Binyan Tzion was bothered by, but he comes to a different conclusion. Not that if you did the Mila, you're half Jew, meaning you're at least not Jewish. It's just that you're not Jewish yet either. But no, that Toshav HaSachar teaches me that you're nothing. You haven't converted yet when you just do a Mila. So let's accept the Binyan Tzion. L'chori, either way, he's not allowed to have the Korban Pesach, right? Whether he's not Jewish or whether he is not Jewish, he can't have the Korban Pesach anyway, because that's what the Pasuk is telling me. So why would it matter whether he's still a guy or no longer a guy? Either way, he's not a Jew. So Ben Yitzchak says, Nafkamina, Goy Shabbos Chayv Misa. Can he keep Shabbos? Can he keep Shabbos? So Ben Yitzchak says, a guy can't keep Shabbos. somebody's Molvelo Tavel can keep Shabbos. Chakas Yov disagrees. He says he's a guy. He's not allowed to keep Shabbos. When we talk about Shabbos, right, we emphasize both the points that we are Jewish and Hashem gave Shabbos to the Jewish people, and the point that we're not a Nachri and Hashem did not give Shabbos to the Nachri. Rabbi Sablovsky pointed out, he's saying Shemon Esrei on Shabbos morning, V'lo nesatu Hashem elkeinu l'goyei ha'aratzos, V'lo nchaltu malkeinu l'ovdei p'silim, V'gam b'mnuchaso lo yishkenu ha'reilim. What's that all about? Hashem did not give it to goyei ha'aratzos. Hashem did not give it to ovdei p'silim. He did not give it to ha'reilim. That's all emphasizing that.
Not to
goyim. The Iker is like the Binyan Siyam, that only a true Nachri cannot keep Shabbos. But then it says, "Kili Yisrael Amcha Nasato Be'ava L'Zera Yaakov Hashem Amacharta Amikat Sheshvi Kol Nisbu V'Zan Gmitu V'Echa." Right, all emphasizing yes to Jews. Right, so that's the question: which is it? Is it anyone who's not a Jew can't keep Shabbos, or no, only someone who's a guy can't keep Shabbos? Wow! So that was the Shaila of Ben Yisrael. So it turns out that the Binyan Siyon says that the Yisur of a Gai Shabbos shouldn't apply to a person who's Mavlo Tavel. And then he says, if he doesn't have an Yisur of a Gai Shabbos, he should be Mechuyiv to keep Shabbos, even though he's not really Jewish yet. Because there's no in-between. There's no one who has the option of Shabbos. If you're not included in the Yisur of a Gai Shabbos, you're Mechuyiv to keep Shabbos. So that's already a jump, right? I mean, the Binyan Sion says this beautiful Chiddush, that he's no longer a guy, but he's also not a Jew, and therefore he's not obligated to break Shabbos. Binyan Sion says, and therefore he's obligated to keep Shabbos, and therefore that rabbi who came and made him write his name was Machshil him lifnei Iver d'Oraisa. So there are really three possibilities of how to view Mol v'lo Tavel as far as Shabbos is concerned. Either he must break Shabbos, because he's a guy, that's the Chalkas Yoav and others. He must keep Shabbos, that's the Binyan Siyon, or Shabbos is an option for him. He doesn't have the Yisur of a Goy Shabbos, nor does he have the Chiyuv of a Jew to keep Shabbos. Those are the possibilities. Questions? There's some.
Does it have to be a Mila
Shem
Geras for him to be in a Goy?
Whatever we learned yesterday, like all the same Shitas.
Would it be though?
I think so. Why not?
Meaning, if so, somebody who's not has a bris from, you know, from birth or health purposes, whatever. We tell him like he can never keep Shabbos. He has no idea. Like he has no idea that there's any.
Meaning, assuming like those sheets say you don't need a tavas dam bris.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good question. All right, we paskin you do need a tavas dam bris. Right, that's a good question. Makes sense that he should need something, yeah. Now, just to... The Binyan Siyon has another Chiddush that... This also had Binyan Siyon is famous. There's a major kasha. There's an essay written by the Mishnah Lamelech. Mishnah Lamelech has a drush sefer called Parashas Rachim. So whenever you hear anyone quote the Parashas Rachim, there's like a 9 out of 10 chance that they're quoting this essay from the Parashas Rachim. He has one long piece about what was the status of the Avos? Were the Avos Jewish or not? Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, were they Jewish or not? So, what difference does it make if they were Jewish or not? Were they allowed to keep Shabbos? Right? Because if you could volunteer all the other mitzvahs, that's fine. Right? But you can't volunteer Shabbos if you're not a Jew. Because you're Chayv Misa for volunteering Shabbos. So, Prashad Zachim says, well, my nafkamina, they probably figured it out, right? So he actually comes to the conclusion that they didn't figure it out, that they didn't know whether they were Jewish or not, that it's such a suffix, they were mesupak whether they had a din of a Jew. So he says, so what did they do about Shabbos? If they themselves didn't know if they were Jew, what did they do about Shabbos? So this became like a huge literature in the Achronim, everyone trying to figure out how can you thread that needle of not being mechal Shabbos in case you're a Jew, but also not keeping Shabbos in case you're a guy. Like, is there a way to do it? So there are like 12 answers or something to this question of how to do that. But so the Parashat says my nafkamina again. Stomach. They probably figured it out. They figured out one of those 12. Like, why does it matter? Would it ever matter to us? So there's a mission in Horios. The mission says you find an abandoned baby, right? Let's say you open up the door to the orphanage and there's a baby in a basket, right? Which I told you just recently, right? I have a guy applied to YU Smicha. Told me that was him. He was a baby in a basket outside of an orphanage. So it happens. So what do you assume about the baby? Is he Jewish or is he not Jewish? So the Mishnah says you follow Rov. If Rov of the people in the town are not Jewish, you assume he's not Jewish. If Rov of the people are Jewish, you assume he's Jewish. Rav Shechter points out, obviously, you know, if there are other indicators, you know, like if it's a black baby, so there are black Jews, but most black people are not Jewish, right? So then you would follow that Rov, right? Meaning each one would be a Rov. You'd have to look, okay, but what if you live in a community that's perfectly balanced, 50-50, 50% Jews, 50% non-Jews? What's the status of that baby? Says the Mishnah, Suffolk. Ooh, what does he do about Shabbos? So now you need to know what the Yavos did. Right, so it's enough Kamina what the Yavos did. So Ben Yisrael discusses where he says that a Goyisha Shabbos Chayiv Misa, the problem with the Goyisha Shabbos is that he says the definition of malacha is to make sure that we're, meaning the definition of the Yisra malacha on Shabbos, is to make sure that we're not being physically productive. So he says, don't do malacha, but also do hard work. And that way, if he's a Jew, he's not violating Shabbos. Meaning, Rashi in Sanhedrin says that the problem with the Goyish Shabbos is that it's dangerous because batalim mevi l'day she'emum, that if a person doesn't do anything all day, he'll go out of his mind, he'll go crazy. Right? So that's why a Goy is not allowed to be Shabbos. So the Isra of a Goyish Shabbos means don't take a day off and do nothing. Do something. Be productive. Work hard. But that's not what Shabbos means to a Jew. Shabbos to a Jew means 39 malachos. What if you're slapping furniture around all day? So a Jew who slaps furniture around all day on Shabbos was not Mechal Shabbos. But a guy who slaps furniture around all day is also not a Goy Shabbos. It says the Ben Yitzion, and that way you can figure it out. That way you can be motzi, yotze ani safik. Others say, yom v'layla lo yushmosu, that for a guy, halayla solech achara yom, that it would be not to keep Shabbos day and Motzoi Shabbos as Shabbos. So as long as they're Mechal on Motzoi Shabbos and the Mechal on Friday, they're okay. Right? Whereas by Jews, the Yom is Halech Achar Alayla. Okay, a big discussion in Achron. A lot to uncover there, but not for now. Okay.
From Shimon Esrei, where it says, Lo Nasapet Vayaratzos, Kiyim Yisrael. But after that, it says, Vashvi Ratzisa Vobi Kidashto.
Right.
Ratzisa, he wants it. Maybe it's that Lo Velo Tavau who wants to be hold Shabbos. Vashvi Ratzisa Vobi.
It's hard to imagine that whole line is about just a mobile, yeah, okay, all right, got it.